The happy man. We read the passage, and it's a full passage, six short verses that pack so much content. But before we dive into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the opportunity and the freedom that we have to open your word, to read it, to study it, to have multiple copies of it. Father, would you guide our time together? Would you get me out of the way? And may it be your word that speaks to us, that challenges us, that shows us areas in our walk with you that need to start, need to change, maybe things that we need to stop doing. But would it be your word and your spirit that speaks to us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Our society and culture today is full of advertisements and slogans to make us think that buying their product or service will bring us happiness or joy. Some car manufacturers at Christmas time will run a commercial showing one of their vehicles with a big red bow on top of it. Kind of giving the idea, hey, if you buy this one of our cars for your loved one, they will be happy. You'll be broke, but they'll be happy. Disney theme parks proclaim that their parks are the happiest place on earth. I've been there once. Thankfully, I didn't have to pay. So I can now say I have been to Disney. I really don't care to go again. But that's me. Last weekend, like I mentioned, we were up at Word of Life for snow camp. And as we travel up 87 through Glens Falls and Lake George, getting closer and closer, we pass a sign that says, "Welcome to the Adirondack State Park." And I swear the air changes when you cross that line. But we get up there, not just Word of Life property and all that means to us, but just the beauty of that area. And we call that one of our happy places. Now, we were about halfway there, so after snow camp, we went on up to visit friends up in Maine, another one of our happy places, to visit friends of ours for a few days. And while we were there with them, we went out to eat to Texas Roadhouse, another one of our happy places. So I'm sure that you have a similar list. You have places, you have things that make you happy, that bring you joy. But the opposite is also true. There are things and places that, for various reasons, don't bring us joy and happiness. Maybe because of memory of that place or something. That brings us to our text here in Psalm chapter 1. Now, we don't know who wrote this psalm. David wrote many of the psalms, but there were about six other writers that were told of during the book of Psalm. But there were some anonymous ones too, so we don't really know how many. But Psalm chapter 1 is kind of like the gateway psalm. And really, it sets the tone of our whole Christian walk. There are two ways of life that we see in this passage. Repetition is good, so let's look at it and read it again. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So here we have it, the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. Those are the two paths. And we're going to walk through these six verses, looking first at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This word blessed could be translated happy. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. It gives the idea of being deeply content in God. He is where our true happiness and joy comes from. Listen to Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2, blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. What better reason to have happiness and joy than to know that our sins are forgiven? That our sin is covered by the blood of Jesus. That happy is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. He doesn't count that against us. We deserve it, but he doesn't count it against us, because if you are a follower of Jesus, if you at some point in your life have said, God, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I believe my sin separates me from you, but I believe that your son Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again the third day, taking care of my sin problem once and for all, and I trust in you. This is you. Psalm 34, 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. Make that a daily practice. In your quiet time with God, can I encourage you, even get a notebook, start a gratitude journal. And just each day, think, okay, for me, I look back at the day before. Where did I see God? Where did I see, he's there, he's over the whole day. But it's an intentional practice on my part. Where did I see God in my day? And to thank him for that, his goodness. But when we look at this verse, it's pretty obvious that there are three sets of three here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now, as I've been studying this passage out, looking at various commentaries and different things, I want to give credit where credit is due. John Piper and some content from him just really helped break this part of the verse down in a way that was very understandable to me. We see first, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Prior to being missionaries with Word of Life, I spent 20 years managing a Bible college bookstore down at Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. And each year would go to one or two conferences designed for those running various aspects of a college bookstore, whether it be educational stuff on textbooks, copyright issues, just a whole host of things. There'd be a trade expo, new school supply vendors, sportswear, clothing, just all sorts of different things. But when I was thinking of this verse, I thought of times when I would be, they would have a block of educational sessions that you could pick from and go to. And I'd walk down the hallway of the meeting rooms, and there was one perhaps that I was interested in, but I wasn't sure. So I'd walk by the rooms, but then I might stop and stand outside one of them for just a minute. Kind of listen to the speaker, kind of scope out the room. How many people are also interested in this topic? Oh, there's two people. Oh, maybe I'll pick something else. But I'd stand and I'd listen for a little bit. And if it was something that I really wanted to learn more about, I would go in and find a seat. That's kind of the picture here. Counsel would be those words of advice that are offered to us. You ask somebody to give you counsel. You're looking for wisdom and help in making a decision. The word way gives the idea of a path that you are walking on. And obviously a seat, you're sitting down to the table. You're all in. And in the final set, we see three different people: the wicked, the sinner, and the scoffer. Wicked is kind of a generic term for evil. Whereas a sinner is someone specifically breaking a commandment of God. They are sinning against God. The scoffer is someone bragging about their wicked sin. And I found it interesting in our Word of Life quiet time, we've been going through 2 Peter, and this morning's passage was talking about Peter's reminding the Christians that he's writing to that they're in a day, even then, surrounded by scoffers who brag about and get joy and happiness from the sin that they are involved in. Just kind of a mockery of God and His holiness. And that's what we see here. It's just, there is an obvious progression of the wicked man. The psalmist is saying, happy is the man who doesn't get sucked into the influence of the wicked man. But the writer continues, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. As I was reading this passage over and over and over again, I kept wanting to replace that word but with because. Happy is the man who doesn't walk, sit, stand, because his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Two key thoughts here. Delight and meditate. When we think of the law of the Lord that he is delighting and meditating in, sometimes we think, okay, the law of the Lord, Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But it's so much more than that. It is all of the instruction from God. God's instruction is a delight to him. But as we know, not all of God's instruction that we read in Scripture is a delight to read or hear. There are so many precious promises found in God's Word that we can hold on to and trust in. But there are also passages of rebuke and warning given to us. And depending on where we're at in our walk in life, that may be a rebuke or a warning that we need to hear, but it's not always pleasant to hear or to read. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He delights in the law of the Lord, even the negative things, so to speak, because it is coming from God. If it is coming from God, it is good and it is true. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. And if you're familiar with this passage, I cannot read this passage without singing it. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. This word delight is also, I find it to be an interesting word. Kind of the opposite in my mind is the word duty, where we might say we have to do something and we have to do it more out of a sense of duty. When we're training youth and children's leaders, one of the things that we always stress and emphasize with them is the need to lead by example. If you are going to encourage a child or a teen, they should be spending time reading and memorizing God's word. Guess who needs to be leading that charge? Now, some of these spiritual disciplines that we want to encourage into young people and even to adults, it may be something that has not been a part of their spiritual walk. Especially for a child, at first it may be like, okay, I need to do this. Mom said I need to do it. Dad said I need to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'll get a gold star for it. So to a degree, there is going to be that initial sense of doing something out of duty. But the prayer would be that after a while, that duty turns into delight. Where it turns from, I have to read God's word, to I get to. And we've even heard this morning, you know, of the underground church in Iran. And how careful they have to be of their faith, of their gatherings. Did anybody come here this morning with that same concern? We're so blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He goes on, he says, and on his law he meditates day and night. This word meditate has the idea of a low repetition to yourself, a conversation with yourself and with God. There are some nights I find myself meditating a little more than I care to, if you know what I mean. Getting up in the middle of the night, trying to get back to sleep, bringing verses to mind, praying for people, having sweet time with God, and I fall asleep on Him. But isn't that what we want? Such a peace and presence of God that allows us to just fall back to sleep. But this meditating, probably does not usually involve holding a book, walking around meditating on this book. Sometimes It relies on memorization. Things that we've memorized, things that we remember that we can lean on sitting in a doctor's office, waiting in a checkout line, sitting at a stoplight, stuck in traffic. You know, if we would, if I would take the time to meditate on things of God rather than getting upset at the driver in front of me or drivers around me, that's a whole other story. Don't ask Tammy. But if my focus would be meditation on God, things that I delight in, that I can meditate on, that is what we see from the psalmist. He goes on, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. When I read this passage, I have in my mind just a massive tree beside the water. I think of giant redwoods, and I was curious, so I did some looking, and giant redwoods typically grow over 300 feet tall. That is as tall as a football field is long. Surprisingly for that, their root system generally is only 6 to 12 feet deep. But their roots intertwine with other giant redwoods, which give them the strength and stability. But it was further intriguing that most trees around here, majority of the root structure is only 18 to 24 inches deep. Trees with the deepest roots, some over 200 feet deep, a taproot going over 200 feet deep, are found in desert regions where that taproot has to go that deep to get water. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water. By delighting and meditating on God's word, the righteous man is pushing his roots deep into the stream of water, the word of God. And this tree brings forth two results. Yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Why? Because he is deeply rooted in God's word. Some fruit trees produce fruit quicker than others. God's word may produce fruit in your life quicker than others. It may take time. But if you are rooted and grounded in God's word, fruit will be produced. He closes this verse saying, in all that he does, he prospers. This is not a name it and claim it, prosperity gospel type promise that the psalmist is talking about here. How good is God's goodness? Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If God gave his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you and for me, do you think he's going to withhold other goodness from us? Now, what God sees as good for us and what we see as good for us may look different. And so we need to make sure that what we see as good lines up with what God would want for us. The rest of that passage in Romans chapter 8 talks about, gives a list of things, asking a question, what or who can separate us from the love of God? And the answer is nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God and His goodness. The psalmist closes out, "The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Chaff. How does this relate to this wicked man? Well, the chaff is that part of grain that is lightweight, useless, no nutritional value. It's just waste. And we see here one process of how it's tossed in the air so that the wind can just drive that chaff away, leaving the grain, the hull, the good nutrition source, to fall to the ground to be collected. This is what the wicked are like. And in the end, they will perish. He closes out the psalm, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." One commentary talked about this word "knows." It might be better translated "acknowledges." For the Lord acknowledges the way of the righteous. He approves. He affirms. This makes sense because in and of ourselves, we have no righteousness. Anything good and righteous in us is only because of God and the gift of His Son, Jesus. So, kind of begs the question, how to be happy? I think the key is in two verses that we've looked at this morning. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And then Psalm 19, verse 10, "More to be desired." Are they than gold? Even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. So as we close, do you delight in God's Word? Do you find yourself throughout the day meditating on it? Is God's Word that is going to bring us true happiness, is it greater to you than any amount of wealth? I remember hearing a speaker say, if the house is burning down, what are you going to grab out of the house? I thought, wow. I started thinking some things. He says, did anybody think to grab your Bible? Would you know where to look for it? Did you have to hunt for it this morning? Where did I leave it last Sunday when I got home from church? I know, I'm meddling. I know. I'm speaking to me too. Happy is the man who delights and meditates on the law of the Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love. Father, we've been challenged this morning in different ways about those who don't share the same freedoms that we do. We are such a blessed people in so many ways. You've been so good to us. But as we're reminded from this passage in Psalm chapter 1, there are the wicked and there are the righteous. And happy is the man who delights and meditates in your word. And may that be a challenge for us as we perhaps are seeking joy in the midst of difficulty. Would we find it in your word? Thank you for loving us.